हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् विद्महे कन्याकुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः.
So we saw last class a mantra which reveals the nature of Brahman, the reality. How the reality is, what the reality is actually. Because reality is the existence of the universe. When I say the pure existence of the universe is reality. When I say the pure existence of the universe is the reality, the existence of the universe is pure existence. So like H2O is the existence of the ocean. Similarly, the existence of the universe is what? The reality. And we need to know what that reality is. And reality is the subtlest. In fact, reality is in the form of pure existence. In what form is the reality available? In what form does the reality exist? Reality exists in the form of existence. Look at this. Reality is in the form of pure existence. And what is the word used to mean pure existence in Sanskritam? Sat, satyam, satta. Sat, satyam, satta. Three words. You can say satta, you can say satyam, or you can say sat. So the existence of the universe, the reality of the universe is in the form of pure existence. So how can we know what is pure existence? In what do you understand by the word pure existence? Pure existence is the reality. So how to know the reality? You need to know what pure existence is. Okay, universe is in the form of, no, the existence of universe itself is what? It implies the existence, reality being there. But what is this pure existence? You can never understand pure existence as pure existence. Understand now? The pure existence, so reality has to be understood, is available for recognition, okay, in terms of its swarupam. Has to be understood in terms of swarupam. What is the swarupam? What is the nature of the reality? In what form can I make out the reality? You know, it is the form of pure existence, sat. So how can I understand what is pure existence now? A pure existence is always available for, pure existence has to be understood, okay, only as pure knowledge. There's no other way. You can never understand what is pure existence without knowing what is pure knowledge. If you know what is pure knowledge, then you know what is pure existence. Understand now? Why? Because pure knowledge is the pure existence. What is pure knowledge? Again, we have the word chit. Say that now? Chit. The pure knowledge is chit, chaitanyam, chitihi. We have three words again. Chitihi, chit, chaitanyam. Chitihi, chit, chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is a neuter gender word. Chit, no? Chitihi is a feminine gender word. Chit is a feminine gender word. So chit, pure. And in English also we have many words. consciousness, awareness, knowledge. Three words. Pure knowledge. Why I have to use word pure? I'll explain to you why I add this pure. Okay. Knowledge itself is enough. Pure knowledge or pure consciousness or pure awareness. Three words are synonyms. They are not different from each other. Pure awareness, pure consciousness, pure knowledge. You can use any of the three words to mean any of that. Understand? So that is chit. So the sati is what? Pure existence. What is sat? Pure existence? Reality. What is reality? Existence of the universe, which lends existence to the universe. The reality which lends existence to the universe is the existence of the universe. Like H2O which lends existence to the ocean is the existence of the universe. Isn't it? Therefore, existence of the universe is the reality, and that reality is has to be understood means reality is in the form of a pure existence, and pure existence is available for recognition only as the pure chit, pure consciousness. And pure consciousness, which is the pure existence, the chit alone is sat of the universe. The chit is the sat. Pure consciousness is the existence of the universe. Pure consciousness is the sat. Sat. The existence of the universe is chit, the pure consciousness. The pure consciousness, the chit, is the sat, the existence of the universe. You can never understand pure existence without having understood pure consciousness. Understand now? Pure existence is available for recognition only as the pure chit, consciousness, the chit. And pure knowledge, the chit, the consciousness, is available for recognition only as a subject of knowledge, never as an object of knowledge. This is subject of knowledge means what? It's always available for recognition only as the knower, as the self. What is self? The meaning, the content, the substance of the substantive I. There is no other way of stumbling upon consciousness. Consciousness is available for even the whole jagat is consciousness. The whole jagat, existence of the whole jagat is consciousness. The whole jagat exists in consciousness, awareness. But awareness is available for recognition. You have to recognize awareness. Understand now? Recognition only as the subject of knowledge, only as the meaning of the word, okay, meaning of the I thought, as a substance of the I thought, as the content of the I thought, as knower. So you recognize it. Once you know the content of the I thought, who this knower is, what this I is, now what is the meaning of the word I, when you understand pure consciousness, what pure consciousness is. Then you understand, oh, this pure consciousness is the sat, the existence of the universe. Chit is sat. And this chit, which is the sat, the existence of the universe, is of the nature of fullness. Anandaha. Listen now, anantam. It is the nature of anandaha, anantam. It is the nature of limitlessness. Last class I explained to you, purevushati, understand now, sarvam purayati, Purishete iti purushaha, I told you. No, because that which fills everything. I told you to be full doesn't need to do anything. Like just as to be full, water need not do anything. Understand with reference to ocean. It is already, being full is its very nature. not even an action. Similarly, to be full consciousness need not do anything. Being full is to be pervasive, to be full is what? It's nature. Being fullness, being full is the nature, the fullness is the nature of this reality. So being full is what? Being limitless. Being full is being limitless. And being limitless is being happy. Therefore, fullness is limitlessness, limitlessness is happiness. Therefore, anantam is what? Anandaha. Ananta means being limitless. Limitlessness. So this chit, the awareness, pure awareness, which is the sat, the existence of the whole jagat, is of the nature of what? Limitlessness and happiness and fullness. In recognizing the reality, the chit, reality, the existence, in the form of pure consciousness, which is of the nature of limitlessness, now the I resolves, ahankara resolves, all the notions resolve, all the wrong, other thought modifications, the problems caused by this, ahankara, wrong notions, they all resolve. That is how one discovers freedom. Okay. Therefore, Upanishad, what the aim of Upanishad is to help us arrive at the reality. What the reality of the jagat is. What is the reality of the jagat? The secret of the universe. Prapancha rahasyam. Now, what is the secret of the universe? What is the truth of the universe? Reality of the universe. We need to arrive at it. What is the reality? Pure existence. The existence of the universe. What is the existence of the universe? Pure existence. What is its nature? Fullness is, limitlessness is its nature. How do you understand it? Only as the chit. Where, as how, it's available for recognition only as. You have to recognize. You never realize self. Please understand. Self is always recognized, never realized. Okay, the very word self-realization, very popular, world-famous, statement is not really a vague statement, according to tradition, wrong translation it is, only recognition. So Upanishad introduces, what does it say? Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman, the reality. That is where this reality, the pure existence of the universe, which is the pure chit, the consciousness, is of the nature of limitlessness. Why? It is time-wise limitless, it never begins. It is not born newly, it is never subject to time. And it never comes to an end, so it is endless, beginningless, endless, and doesn't undergo any change. It's always there. That's why time-wise it is limitless. It pervades everything, therefore it is spatially limitless. And if there's no object which is not pervaded, which exists outside of the awareness, therefore this object is also limitless. So this, because this is of the, it is free from all three limitations, it is of the nature of limitlessness, we say what is implied by the word Brahman. So the word Brahman does not show, Mike means, is indicates. Indicating means a word directly revealing an object, directly revealing an object, phone, mobile phone. Directly it indicates means what? It's called Padam. Padyate anena iti padam. That by which something is arrived at is called. That's why it's called padam. A word is a padam. A word, shabdaha, a word, is a padam, a word. Why is called padam? Padaha, by which you reach from one place, other place, from one place. You go from here, you reach other place. How? Yena padyate anena iti padaha. Understand? Padyate, that anything which is reached by, that by which you reach something else, is called pada, foot. Pado, feet, 2 feet. Similarly, padam also is the same root, that by which something is arrived at. Tamil we have the word padam. Solluk padam nal perruk. That by which something is arrived at. My mobile phone, when I say, the word immediately reveals what? Indicates what? An object, isn't it? So it's called padam. It directly indicating is called a word. It's indicating. But Brahman is not a word, directly indicates something. You know, implies. Implying means what? It reveals, revealing, it reveals what it is not, thereby it reveals what it is. A word which it implies distinguishes what is revealed by the word, is distinguished from everything else. So Brahman means what? That which is big. Brahman means Brihatvat Brahma. Brihatvat Brahma. Brihat means what? Big. Brihatvam means what? Bigness. So why reality is implied by the word Brahman? Due to its bigness. Brihatvat Brahma. Big is an adjective, you know. Therefore, any adjective is a relative term. So, and we need to ask now, how big is Brahman? Is it as big as mountain or as huge as mountain? How big it is? It commands incomparably big. There's nothing which is as big as Brahman. Incomparably big means what? That which is limitlessly big is incomparably big. Limitlessly big means how? It is free from all limitations. What are all the limitations? 3 possible limitations. What are all 3 possible limitations? Everything in this universe is subject to 3-4 limitations. What is it? Everything in this universe, all the nama rupas, all are nothing but forms. And all these forms have names. So, nama rupani, sarvani namani, sarvani na rupani, sarva nama rupani, they have beginning, they have end. There is a time when they do not exist, there is a time when they exist. There is a time that they disappear also. So, they are all subject to time limitation. They exist within the realm of time. And they all have spatial limitation. What is in one place is not another place. Even we all have our own houses on the left, and then we are all sitting here in Binaji's house, and our house, we are not there. We are not even other chair. So spatially limited. Every object occupies a given space. So even big mountains, they have spatial limitation. Even big oceans, they have spatial limitations. Everything has spatial limitation. In fact, very clearly we can say, only one thing of the whole in the world which is free from spatial limitation, which is space. Space alone is free from spatial limitation. There is no place where the space is not. In fact, everything exists within the realm of space. Therefore, space is called what? Avakasha Pradat. Avakasha Pradata. All accommodative is space. Space alone is free from spatial limitation. Everything is subject to time limitation. Time also is subject to time limitation. Look at this. The very time factor is subject to time limitation. Kalatrike kalanundunna. Understand now. Time itself, time has time limitation. It's a time and the time is not there. You know that? There is a time and the time is not there. There is a time and the time comes into existence. Amazing. Time has time limitation. And everything has time limitation. And space has what? Space is spatial. Space alone is free from spatial limitation. And everything else subject to spatial limitation. And I tell you, every object has object limitation. Everything in this universe is different from every other thing. Know that? Therefore what? Every object being different from every other object is limited by the other object. Therefore what? Spatial limitation. Understand now? Therefore, that everything in this universe is subject to these 3-fold limitations. Moonru Varayarehal, Kalam Porul Idam. Understand, now three limitations. And that which is free from, only one thing which is free from these threefold limitations is what? Limitless Vastu. Okay, therefore being limitless, not being subject to these threefold limitations, time, space and object, is said to be what? Being limitless. Being limitless is limitlessness. This limitlessness is the nature of the reality. Therefore, what it said implied? Therefore, reality is implied with the word Brahman. Got it now? It's clear now. This Brahman, which is free from threefold limitations, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is what? Is the Sat, the existence of the universe. So, how is it available for recognition? This reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is the existence of the universe, is available only as pure knowledge, only as the Chit. Pure knowledge. And as what? As the Self. You can, okay, Brahman is available for recognition only as the Self. Self means what? The content of the word I. The meaning of the word I. The why the meaning of the word I is known by the word Atma, because the meaning, that which is the meaning of the word I, that which is the substance of the substantive I, that which is available for recognition as the meaning of the word I, is all pervasive. Therefore, it is known by the word Atma. Got it? Atma and Brahman are one and the same. Okay, this is Brahman. But when you arrive at it, when you negate all the objects as, our purpose is what? We have to recognize that Atma now. So, to negate, when you, through the Drishyaveka Prakriya, all the Prakriyas, you understand, oh, now you know, reality of the universe available for recognition only as the Atma, the Self. And Self is actually the content of the word I, the subject of knowledge, the knower. Therefore, what you had distinguished the knower from the known. Now you negated the whole Jagat as what? World of what? Objects of knowledge, and which is inclusive of your body, gross body, subtle body, even the subtlest thoughts. You know that. Then even you negate even the I, even the am is what? Am, irikiren, am is also thought, the knowledge. Am is knowledge. Leave alone is. Everything is no object of knowledge. And you say, am, this am also is what? Just the thought, knowledge, the thought. So, am cannot be, so what about I? I also is just the thought. I am just the thought only. The knowledge I am, knowledge I am is what? Just the thought. That is why there's a thought is, there's a time that this thought is not there. That time is called deep sleep state. You understand, my God, even this thought I am is not there. Then what is there that time? When even this thought is not there, what is there? Hey, what is there when even this I thought is not there? There is something. That is what is pure consciousness. Why? That is how you arrive at it. That's the only way you can arrive at it. But when you see that pure consciousness, and you have to recognize this is what the pure consciousness is, for recognizing you need some understanding. So Upanishad talks about the nature of the reality as what it's like. Suppose Keith G is going to come to Coimbatore. And I'm going to send, now suppose I sent my driver to pick him up from the airport. He is a very new, typical Tamilian. Doesn't speak one word of English. Okay, very good person. And then he has to, Kijil be landing at the airport. He never saw him before. Name is new, person is new, nothing he knew about him. All that he has to go and recognize Kijil to pick him up. Know that. Of course, I go with it's a different problem, different thing. I'm not there with him. I'm arranging at home. So recognize, now this person comes new, completely unknown person he has to receive. How will he go and receive if he cannot recognize the person? I tell him all that, how he looks, what is his height, what is the complexion, no? What a complexion. How, what is his size, how he looks, whether he has mustache or not, how many bags he brings, what color dress he wears. Maybe because I had understand, okay? Everything I give, all the details about the person. And so many, understand now? And the people who get up, land in Coimbatore are all, people are of brown and all the people. Hardly very few, very, of course some business people to come for business. Many English people also come, very foreigners, a lot of people come to Coimbatore because of the yarn merchants and all of them come. And there are few people come of the, you know, many, okay, he just negates. Oh, all brown and black, he just negates. All Indian black and Indian brown people are all, okay, they're not, definitely not. Easy. He negates, they're all not Keith. Keith is not any of these people who are left. Too many black, not this color dress, no, everything he sends them off. And a few people come, oh, the two, three same people of same complexion. No, white people are coming. Ah, this must be the person. Of them he chooses. No, dress, okay, he recognizes. Excuse me, sir. Keith. He knows, uses little English knowledge. You are Keith? Yes. Somebody's guest? Yes. Oh, come. For him to be able to recognize, he already has some knowledge. Understand now? Does he recognize Keith or does he realize Keith? Tell me. Is it recognition or realization? Recognition. Is it very clear? Similarly, Upanishad talks about the reality. Amurtaha, Amurtihi, Ajaha, all that. We know all the meaning of these words. Then we see, come on, all these things, what is this body, has a form, therefore not. Understand now? Negate this. What is that which is formless? What is that which is timeless? What is that which has no beginning? What is that which has no end? What is that does not undergo change? But it gives all these clues, words, okay? This is how reality is. How reality is? Reality is ajaha. Ajaha means what? Na jayate. It is not unborn. Unborn means what? It doesn't exist. No. Unborn means there's no beginning. It means eternal. There's no end. Doesn't undergo any change. So anything which undergoing changes is what? Atma is not anything. Reality is not anything which keeps undergoing changes. So definitely what? Atma is not the body or any other object. Look at this. Anything which is a beginning is not the Atma. Anything subject to the limitations are what? Not the Atma. Atma is not anything like that. So you negate everything which is, okay, therefore what? You recognize. You arrive at the meaning of the word I. Then you recognize, relate to that command. This is what is pure consciousness, which alone is there when even the I thought is not there. This is what is pure consciousness, pure knowledge. This is how pure knowledge is. And this pure knowledge definitely has what? This consciousness is the one which has no beginning, which has no end, which is eternal, which is not born, which has no form. No form. You only recognize it. You recognize it. That is only self-recognition or self-cognition, self-knowledge. Knowledge of the pure knowledge. Knowledge of the pure knowledge. Knowledge of consciousness. Which arises in the moment of thought. So any knowledge of anything arises in the form of a thought. Knowledge of any object or subject. Understand now? Knowledge of anything arises in the form of a thought only. Arivu oru porulai patri arivu ennamagathaan thondrugirathu. Knowledge of the thought rises as the thought. Anything. So knowledge of the self also is what? Rises in the form of a thought. That knowledge is what? Said to be what? Knowledge of any object, knowledge of the reality also, which rises as the thought, rises in the form of a thought, is called vritti jnanam. Say that now? Vritti jnanam. Show that this vritti means a thought. Vritti jnana means how much we have so many, we have not just so many things, so many objects. Any knowledge of any given object is called vritti jnanam. And what about the source of knowledge? The reality which is the pure knowledge, the nature of which is pure knowledge. What is the reality which is of the nature of pure knowledge? Swarupa jnanam. Say that now.
Swarupa.
This is how you have to distinguish the reality, the pure knowledge, from the knowledge which rises in the form of thought. Understand now? So knowledge which rises as the thought in the form of a thought is said to be vritti jnanam. Say now? Vritti jnanam. Vritti means a thought, thought modification. And what is the reality which is pure knowledge? Swarupa jnanam. Say?
Swarupa.
You should remember that because the word jnanam is used to mean both things. The thought also is what? Knowledge of anything which rises in the form of a thought also is said to be jnanam, knowledge. We use the word knowledge for that. And we also, reality is pure knowledge, we say. It's confusing, isn't it? That's why you have to distinguish this. Pure knowledge means pure consciousness, which is the reality, the sat. And the thought which rises, the knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is what? Vritti jnanam. Swarupa, paramparulukku peru swarupa jnanam. Enna vadivilu urukkinra arivukku solradhu vritti jnanam. Vritti jnanam is a thought. Swarupa jnanam is the reality. Is it clear now? The called recognition. So we have to refer self-recognition. Why my driver goes without knowing anything about Keith? I just tell, come on, our friends are coming from England, please go and pick them up. And, he's Englishman. Just make out. You know how Englishman looks, so go and collect him. If I tell him, he will look for all the English people, that's all, but he won't be able to recognize you. Isn't it? He won't be able to recognize easily. He needs to be given all the details. Upar gives all the details. Understand? Look is how Upanishad words. In fact, reality cannot be indicated by the word. That is why it is said indescribable. Understand now? Inexplicable. No word can, anything which can be described by a word, explained by a word, an explicable object is an object always. Inexplicable, why we say? Because subject of knowledge. Subtlest. That is why Upanishad's words have to negate, only they reveal what the self is not. Upanishad words reveal what the self is not. Thereby it reveal what the self is. That is why now we have to see. Swarupa Lakshanam. Understand now? Swarupa Jnanam. I had to do this initially. So we saw last class. First he said, the whole... What's it, Nina? Okay. See, the whole universe of varieties of objects has come into being, you know, from one vastu, one Brahman. Like what? Like many sparks emerge from one big conflagration of fire. And they all are of the same nature. They have the heat and brilliance of the fire, the cause. The whole Jagat also is what? Manifestation of the reality, the pure knowledge. The whole Jagat is manifestation of knowledge. You know, manifestation also you have to understand here again. Now, just for want of words, we have to say, the idea is to help you arrive at the reality. That is the purpose. Not to analyze how the universe has come into being. Upanishad is least bothered, okay? He's not at all interested in telling you how the universe has come into being from the reality. Upanishad is interested only in making you understand what is the one thing from which the universe has come into being. Upanishad is not interested even in making you understand that if the whole universe has come into being one thing. That is not, Upanishad is not interested in universe at all. Upanishad's aim is to help you arrive at what is that one thing from which the universe has come into being. That's all you can arrive at. I tell you, Upanishads will help you arrive at what is that one thing which has come into, from which the universe has come into being. But you can never understand one thing. How the universe has come into being from one thing. Never. It will be a everlasting mystery. You can never arrive at it. How one has become many, you can never. On Upanishad says, no scientist can ever arrive at it. Any number of scientists can come in future. They can discover any number of facts within the realm of what is already. Understand now. How this is, how new things they can exist within the realm of ignorance, matter. Within the realm of available matter, they can discover new things. I was discussing this with Dharniji this morning. So discovery of what is science. And making use of whatever is available is what? Technology. The technology can be developed and developed. Technological improvements and development are based on scientific developments, isn't it? New discoveries. But whatever is will be discovered by scientists will be within the realm of matter. But only one thing scientists can never do is what? How... They were still struggling to know what is that one thing which has become many. Which Upanishad helps us to understand. What is the one thing which has become the whole, many? How the one has become many, you can never arrive at it. It will be ever a mystery. Why? Because. Why you cannot arrive at it? You can ask this question. This mind is the one which is no instrument of knowledge, isn't it? Mind alone has to discover. The job of discovering. Mind alone has the capacity to discover. Mind is blessed with the capacity to discover any subtlest fact. Amazing hardware, isn't it? The wonderful. If it is utilized, the mind has the capacity. Mind has shakti, jnana shakti. There's naturally the desire for knowledge also is there. The mind, the focused mind can, in any given field, in any given discipline, the mind is focused, distraction-free mind can come out with wonderful discovery facts, come out with wonderful things. Mind can do lots of things. There are people talk about thought power, mind power, all these things. People talk about all these things. I tell you, if you've ever had a focused, how focused you are in any discipline, in any field, the medicine or technology or science or physics or biology or microbiology, whichever field you're given to, you're focused and you work only in what one, not distract too many things. The focused working in one given area, you know, the more you work, the more focused you are, definitely the mind can discover amazing facts. The mind has the capacity to discover. But how much of the mind can discover the smallness, okay, being centered on I, will continue to be there forever. That is why the thirst on the part of the mind to know more will be quenched only when the I thought is resolved. That is why the greatest of the discoveries of the mind is discovering the very existence of the mind, very truth of the mind, reality of the mind, mind discovering its own existence, tannirupai aridale. Understand now? The mind discovering its own existence is what? Mind discovering its own existence means mind discovering the content of the word I, content of the I thought. Understand now? Mind discovering its own existence. The way of discovering its own existence is what? Discovering the existence of the entire ocean. Mind discovering its own existence. Mind discovering its own truth, its own reality, its own swarupam. Understand now? There people talk about see within, without saying anything. What to see? What am I seeing within means what? Who is seeing within means where, how? All very vague expressions. Understand now? The mind which has the capacity to discover, discovering its own existence, its own reality, its own truth, its own swarupam, which is available for recognition only as the content of the thought I thought, is what in fact, you know, is the greatest of the discoveries. Because in discovering its own existence, its own reality, its own truth, as the content of the word I, the search on the part of the mind, the thirst on the part of the mind for knowledge will be quenched for good. That is the greatest of the discoveries. In discovering that, mind will be resolved. What do I mean by the word mind will be resolved? I say the I sense, okay? The I thought. The problem of smallness being centered on I will be resolved. Why? Because the very I will be resolved. Like wave being resolved in the discovery of its own existence being pure H2O. Okay? I will be resolved. So when the very I is resolved, there is nobody further, okay, to discover how the one has become many. In discovering, in searching for who I am, what this I is. I don't know what this I am, okay? What this I is. What this I is. What this wave is. You arrive at H2, stumble upon H2, you can't go beyond anything. What is beyond wave is H2O. Understand now? Because I said the word beyond creates confusions. Beyond always is used in terms of distance. Here we say, what is beyond the wave, the name and form is H2O. Beyond, okay? It's not distance, just the truth. Understand now? So what is beyond this I? Nothing but awareness. Understand now? Pure awareness. So that awareness is what? You discover that. That's all. In discovering that who what this I is, I will disappear. I will disappear means what? Like when you discover what this wave is, when you discover the wave being water, you don't see wave anymore. Oh my God, what is there? It's only H2O. Isn't it? When you see when you look at carefully what this wave is all about, oh, wave is H2O. There's only H2O. When you say, what happened to the wave? Resolved. Where? In its reality. Similarly, what? When you look at this, what this I thought is, I is a thought. What is thought I is? Pure awareness. Pure awareness. When you resolve this I thought in awareness, you are not there. Understand now? You're not there means what? In terms of knowledge. That is why, after having resolved this I thought, it is impossible for one to again to make efforts to know how the one has become many. How is it possible for you to know how one has become many without knowing what is the one which has become many? Understand? Definitely, first you think you had to know what is that one which has become many, you should know. To make efforts to know how one has become many. But when you understand what is that one which has become many itself, what? You will disappear. You will not be there. They said you cannot talk about how the one has become, well, you cannot make further efforts to know how one has become many. That is why our Shastras say, you can always, the greatest of the discoveries the mind can do is what? Mind can, discoveries of the mind, the greatest of the discoveries of the mind is the mind discovering its own existence. What is that? Thereby it can understand, oh, this is the one which has become the whole universe. This alone is there as the universe, form of the universe. But how this has become the universe, the mind can never arrive at. Is it clear now? That is why the question becomes very irrelevant. How one has become many? A wheat flour alone has become bread, we know. How the wheat flour has become bread also we know. So we want to know, similarly, same way. How you mix, what is the consistency, how it should be, how it put into the oven, how it comes out as a bread, everything you know. Like that you cannot know here. Understand? That is why fundamental particles, and people talk about, you know, the physicists have gone up to saying singularity, which is equivalent to Indian Maya. Okay? In physics. But still, they had to be stuck. Is it clear now? So, we don't need to worry about how the one has become many. First, let us try to understand what is that one which is there. Understand? Which alone is there as the universe. See, water alone is there as the ocean. It's over. Not even manifestation, we had to say. Look at this. Where is the creation? We said this, not even manifestation. We don't need to say even the manifestation. Initially, we had to say, first creation, then we say manifestation. Now you say what? Understand? Similarly here. So what now? We have to recognize. We have to recognize what? We are not going to realize the self. We are going to recognize the self. Understand now? So slowly, this is how Swamiji's teaching is amazing. Because such a big difference, isn't it? Now you know how wrong it is to say realization. It's already real. How can you make it real eyes? Reality cannot be realized, okay? Okay. Therefore, the second mantra, we finished, have we? We haven't finished, no? Okay. Divyah.
Divyah.
Have you finished that? Okay. Finished it? Okay. Why don't you read on? Divyah. So, that's what we say. What is Divyah? Effulgent. Effulgent means what? That reveals its presence by itself. What is it which revealed by its presence by itself is self-effulgent, isn't it? Then Amurtaha, Purushaha, Sabahyabhyantaraha, Hyajaha, Apranaha, Amanaha, Shubhraha, Hi, Aksharat, Paratav Paraha. I think I made it very clear, haven't I?
Yes.
Okay, that is what is Brahman? That is what is Brahman? Apranaha. Now you know Brahman has no pranas. But all the pranas are Brahman. Brahman has no mind. What is Brahman? The pure consciousness, which is the pure existence, which is of the nature of fullness and limitlessness, is what? Has no pranas, no mind, amanaha. All the minds are Brahman. Brahman has no mind. Understand now? I told you last class itself, you can never say water has waves. Didn't I say that? I understand elsewhere. Do we ever say water has waves? Can we say that? We cannot say. Can we say wave has water? We cannot say. Know why? We can say water is not the wave, but the wave is water. You can't say water has waves, nor can you say wave has water. You know, there's no possessor-possessed connection between Adhara, Adheya, Sambandha is not there between water and the wave. Why? Adhara, Adheya means possessor-possessed, owner-owned connection is not there between water and wave, because anything owned, anything possessed is separable from the owner, from the possessor. Like if you say Swamini specs, understand that Swamini has specs means Swamini's specs. Swamini's specs means there's a possessor possessed connection, owner owned possession connection, Adhara Adheya Sambandha. Therefore it is separable. I can go forgetting, always I forget my specs, leaving here. If it is inseparable, I don't need to forget, I don't need to remember, or else it will be with me all the time. It is separable. That is why we lose a lot of things. Understand now? You forget also things because of separability. So therefore, this possessor-possessed connection is there. Between water and wave, there is no possessor-possessed connection. There is no adhara-adheya sambandha, owner-owned connection. Because you cannot separate wave from the water. So, water from the wave. Understand now? Wave is water, even though water is not the wave. What is only water. What seems to be there is wave. Okay? Therefore, what? You cannot say has. So also what now? You can't say, I have pain, I have pleasure, I am sorrowful. I am, everything is, you can say that. So also what consciousness, similarly, consciousness does not have minds. Consciousness does not have thoughts. Consciousness does not have form. Consciousness does not have pranas. But pranas are consciousness. Minds are consciousness. Thoughts are consciousness. All the forms are consciousness. Consciousness has no forms. Understand now? Therefore, we saw that Amurtaha, Apranaha, and all that. And then Akshubraha, the pure consciousness, has no impurity. It cannot be refined. There's two ways of purification. So, dosha apanayanam. Dosha apanayanam means what? Removal of dirt. Okay? Dosha apanayanam. Suppose, refinement. Consciousness cannot be refined. It's already pure. It's free from any refinement. What I do? Of course, I want to paint this. Before I paint, what I do? What do I do? I rub nicely. I remove all the dirt from here. It's called dosha apanayana. Okay? Dosha apanayana. I remove this. The dirt from here. There is one way of refining. Understand now? So nothing can be removed from consciousness like that. Then guna adanam. Then by refining it better, much better. How? By painting. By removal of the dirt, we cleanse it, refine it. And after removing the dirt and by scrubbing, then I paint beautiful color, nice paint. This is the guna adanam. Okay? Dosha apanayanam, guna adanam. Two ways of refining. Understand now? Dosha apanayanam, guna adanam. Consciousness, understand now, cannot be refined. It's already pure. Dosha apanayanam also is not possible. Guna adanam also is not possible. You cannot beautify it anymore. Vashubraha. It's pure. It's all for recognition. Understand now. Then, that is parana. So, this beyond is also what? Parat, aksharat, paraha. Why aksharam? I told you aksharam. Aksharam means indestructible. And here aksharam in this context means maya. Even the maya is the cause of the universe. From the standpoint of the universe, maya is the matter subtlest form. And the existence of the maya is what? Consciousness. In fact, maya is consciousness. Understand now? But consciousness is not maya, but maya is consciousness. The subtlest creative power, the matter in its subtlest original form is in the form of the subtlest power. You can only understand that power is consciousness. You can't say consciousness has power. Just as I told you, you can't say water has waves. Understand now? Like that, the consciousness has the power. The power is what? Matter in subtlest form. The power is consciousness, but consciousness is not the power. Understand now? Therefore, this is very, even aksharat paraha, this is more exalted and superior even to the maya shakti, the power. Now, from this Brahman, now which has been described, okay, which has been implied by different words in the previous mantra, that reality, from that only the whole universe has come into being. To make us understand how the existence of the universe is that Brahman. Existence of the universe is Brahman. Reality of the universe is what? In the form of existence of the universe. Reality of the universe. Okay? He is in the form of the existence of the universe. To make us understand existence of the universe is the reality, you know, Upanishad gives this mantra. What does it say? Etasmajayate. Yetasmat jayate, yetasmat brahmanaha, okay? Why yetasmat? This Brahman, which is apranaha, which is amanaha, which is aksharat parataha paraha, Na, which has been described earlier, this Brahman, which is Ajaha, which is Divyaha, which is Amurtaha, which is Sabahyabhyantaraha. Listen now, this Brahman which is of this nature is what actually, how do you know now? You recognize it only as the self. Brahman, the reality of the whole universe which is Apranaha, Amanaha, which is of that nature, is what for you? Very self, very you. Very meaning of, for, understand now, water for every wave is I, isn't it? The meaning, understand, water for every wave is I. I of water is, I of wave is what? Water. Similarly, I of every mind is what? Consciousness, the core of every thought is what? Consciousness, isn't it? Therefore what? How far is consciousness for you now? What is distance? How far is consciousness for you? Understand now? Therefore what? Yetasmat, from this. Why from that? From that Brahman. From that Brahman, he does not say open, he is very careful. From this. Yetasmat means what? From this. From this means what? From this very reality, which is the very I of everything. I of everything means what? Okay, whoever is discussing here. Therefore, Brahman, the reality of the whole universe, okay, from this reality alone, which is I of everything, Jayate is born. Is born means what? What does it mean? Just come into being. What is Jayate? Pranaha. Look at this. Manaha. Say now. Pranaha, manaha, sarvendriyanicha. See, all the physiological functions, all the pranas, manaha, the mind, sarvendriyani, all the sense powers. He talks, this here, pranaha, manaha, sarvendriyani, these three words reveal all the subtle factors which constitute the subtle bodies of all the individuals. Understand now? All of them have come into being from this Brahman, the reality. I mean, they do not exist outside of the reality. Pranaha, manaha, indriyani. These three words stand for what? All the subtle factors. Then not only that, he says now, Kham, Vayuhu, Jyotihi, Apaha, Prithivi. Now he says, Kham means space. Now he talks about the elements. Kham, space. Kham means space, Akash. We have so many words in Sanskrit language. Kham itself is enough. Space. Really. Kham means space. Akashaha, synonym of Akashaha is what? Kham. That is why bird is called Kagaha. Ke gachati iti Kagaha. That which goes in space is what? Open space. Okay, very free. Bird is called Kagaha. Ke gachati iti Kagaha. Na? Kham means space. Kham. Then Vayuhu. Vayuhu, air element, you all know very well. Jyotihi. Jyotihi. Jyotihi here means fire. Apaha. Apaha, waters. In Sanskritam, water is always used in plural word, okay? Up means water. Apaha, waters. It's the plural word used. Apaha, water. Prithivi. Prithivi, earth element. Now all the five elements, kam vayur jyotir apah prithivi, kam vayuhu jyotihi apah prithivi, all the five elements, subtlest, in India subtlest form, subtle elements, which alone become later on gross elements. When you talk about the five subtle elements, it understood what? The grossified elements. Okay, gross elements, grossified elements, and all the beings, the whole, all the nama rupas, all the names and forms, you know, which constitute the gross universe, all of them also have come in from what? From this Brahman alone. The five elements stand for all the elemental universe also. Understand now? Five elements. What is Prithvi? Vishvasya Dharini.
Vishvasya Dharini.
See, earth is said to, earth alone is described by the word Vishvasya Dharini. Vishwam means universe. Vishvasya, you know, Ramasya Krishnasya. Know that? Remember the Sanskrit class? I forgot. Ramasya Krishnasya, like Vishvasya, of the universe. Dharini. Dharati iti Dharini. Understand now? Dharati supports, holds, upholds, supports, holds. Now, if we say clay is ghata dharam. Dharam means what? Supporter. As the sustainer. Vishwasya dharani. The earth alone sustains. Is earth said to be the sustainer of the whole universe? All the beings. Why? Because from the earth alone, all the plants grow. And plants are what? Plants are the food. Isn't it? Food is from where? Food is vegetation. Oshadibhyaha annam. That which is taken in is annam. So anything which is taken in is annam. So food is what? That which is taken in. What is food? Vegetation. Oshadibhyonam. Food is from the all the herbs only. What are the vegetation? What are the all this? What is this? And vegetation is nothing but prithvi. So who sustains all our lives remaining as the very food? Mother Earth, isn't it? The verse said to be, exists is described as Vishwasya Dharini, the sustainer of all the living beings is what? Earth. That is why we always do Bhumi Puja. When you dig for water, first we bow, Amma sorry, we have to dig you, and we cause pain to you, please forgive us, we are helpless. We dig well, we do puja. To sow, we dig, we plow, we do puja. To build a house, to take foundation, we have to dig, we do puja. We are so sensitive. We never take anything for granted. If somebody comes and pokes, it will be painful. So when I go and poke the Mother Earth, we are so sensitive. We never think it is, let's say, no inert matter. We are so sensitive. So we are helpless. We have to live here. So So I'm helpless. I'm sorry. That is why we bow to that. We do namaskaram as though we get the permission. It's just sensitivity to have developed sensitivity in right sense. Sometimes we're sensitive in wrong way. Here in the right sense, we're more alert. So we do namaskaram, we bow, and then we start. Any foundation building in India, we never start any building work without Bhumi Puja. First Bhumi Puja. That is the culture, isn't it? How we relate to the elements also. Never inert matter is taken for us, just the bundle of energy, inert energy, inert bundle of matter. No. Everything is Ishvara, Bhagavan. That's the tough thing. Therefore, Mother Earth is a Vishwasya Dharini. All the elements have come into being from what? Etasmat Brahmanaha. Understand now? Brahman, which is this Atma, from this Atma, Brahman alone, elemental universe has come into being. All the elemental products have come into being. All the elements have come into being. All the subtle aspects have come into being. So what does it say? Everything has come into being from this Brahman alone. When you say everything has come into being from this Brahman, so Brahman is the existence of this universe. cause of the universe is Brahman. Initially, we talk about the Karna-Karya Prakriya. Then later on we'll say, the cause of the universe is Brahman, we say, then come on, universe is the Brahman. That is what our interest is in. We are not interested really in knowing what is the cause of the universe. We are interested only in our moksha. Isn't it? We want to be free from limitations. Therefore, when you say this, there is nothing which is not Brahman here. Everything is Brahman. Brahman is not anything, but everything is Brahman. So here, when you say the element, whenever Purush talks about the elements, the whole universe is elemental. Also it implies the elemental products are all from Brahman. That means the whole grass manifestation. Whole universe, the grass manifestation is what? Brahman. And we say it's called Sthula Prapanchaha. What's it called? Sthula Prapanchaha. Sthula Prapanchaha, grass universe. Grass universe means grass manifestation. What is grass manifestation? All perceptible, world of perceptible objects. All elemental products. Elements and the elemental products, the perceptible grass world of objects is what now? Manifestation of that Brahman alone. So Brahman is the existence. Existence of Brahman is the existence of the grass universe. Brahman is the very existence of the universe. You have to say these three lines, okay? Existence of water is the existence of ocean. Next step, what do you say? Water is the existence of the ocean is water. Is it clear now? Similarly, existence of Brahman, the Atma, is the existence of the universe. And Atma, Brahman, is the existence of the universe. So this grass universe, Sthula Prapanchaha. And Sthula Prapanchaha, how does it look? Does it look, because it has form, it is a formed one, isn't it? With lots of forms, lots of names, innumerable names, innumerable forms, innumerably countless, countless forms, therefore innumerably countless names also. Every object has a name, isn't it? There's no object which does not have, which is not indicated by a term. Anamika, there's nothing is anamika, so everything has a name. Sanama only. Isn't it? Anything you know. Unknown means that's a different thing. Therefore, all innumerably countless objects and indicated by innumerably countless words. That is what is Vishwam. Look at this. Vishwam means universe. Why this universe is called Vishwam? Because it's a constitution. Constitution of what? Many objects. How many objects? Countless number of objects. How countless? Innumerably countless. Indicated by what? Innumerably countless words. So how Sanskritam defines it? Look at this. Vividhaihi pratyayaihi gamyam. That which is to be understood as the constitution of, that which is arrived at as the constitution of innumerably countless objects indicated by innumerably countless words. He is Vishwam. First name of Vishnu, Bhagavan Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasranama. Vishwam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhu. First word. Vishwam itself is the name of the Lord. And Vishwanathaha also is the Lord. Lord of the universe. Lord of the universe and the Lord are not two different things. Okay, Lord of the universe and the universe are not two different things. The universe is the Lord. The whole Jagat is what now we say here. This gross manifestation. And then, my God, not one thing. One thing does not look like another thing. Even the same flower, same plant, one flower doesn't look like the other flower. Even though they look alike. They look alike. The subtle difference, isn't it? Variety. That is why what? Vividham Rajate. Understand now? How does this grass universe shine? Vividham. That which shines as many, many and variety. So that's why it's given a name what? Viraj. Virat. Virajaha. We can say Virat. Virat means what? Virat. The grass universe. Bhagavan. Now we give the name to Bhagavan. The Lord. The reality is the Lord. There's no other Lord sitting anywhere. Isn't it? Reality is the Lord. Said Lord is the reality. We don't say the reality is the Lord also. Lord is reality. There's no Lord other than the reality. So how does it look? You know, Vividham Rajate Iti Virat. So we want to give a name to this grass manifestation. This grass manifestation is what? The so-called grass universe is nothing but Brahman. You can't even say manifestation. Now first you have given up the word what now? Creation. Understand now? Who sits and creates this? No. We only say what now? The whole universe is first you say manifestation of Brahman. You say everything has come into being from that we say. Alirundi ellam thondriyathu. Then we say what? Whole universe is manifestation. Then you say what? We don't even say manifestation. Whole Jagat is the reality, Brahman. Whole Jagat is Ishwaraha. Grass universe is manifestation of the Brahman. Grass universe is Brahman. So, from the standpoint of the universe, you want to give the name. It is no creative sitting other than consciousness. Understand? No, so consciousness is not the creator. Please understand. Consciousness is not the creator. But there is no other creator apart from consciousness. Therefore, what we want to say, so from the standpoint of the manifest universe, the seemingly manifest universe, we say the creator of the universe is the Lord. Lord is not the creator, but the creator of the universe is the Lord. Why? Because there is no real creator. Because there is no creation at all. There is only manifestation. Even the manifestation also is only seemingly manifestation. Just it is how, that is how the reality is. Understand now? I got it? Therefore, what is the name given? I want to give the name now to this. Suppose, the creator of the universe is the Lord. Lord is not the creator, but the creator of the universe is the Lord. Why do you say? From the standpoint of the universe, okay, from the standpoint of the universe, the gross universe, now because without the consciousness, there is no other creator. There is no other cause. Understand now? Therefore what? Brahman, apart from Brahman, there is no other Brahman cause, there is other creator. So we say from the standpoint of the universe, as in the creator of the universe is, like from the standpoint of the ocean, the name and the form, we say, hey, creator of the ocean is water. But water is not the creator. Why? Without the water, the ocean cannot exist at all. Ocean cannot come into being. For the ocean to come into being, there must be what? Water. Look at this. Please listen to me carefully. For the ocean to come into being, what must be there already? Huh? Water. Therefore, what do we say from the standpoint of the ocean? Water must be there already for the ocean to come into being. Therefore, we say water is not the creator of the ocean, but creator of the ocean is water. Why? Water must be there for the ocean to come into being. Then, who is the sustainer of the ocean now? Okay? If water is not the sustainer of the ocean, but the sustainer of the ocean is water. I heard different, okay? Water is not the sustainer of the ocean. Because sustaining is not a job, action, nature. For what now? Minus water, the ocean will disappear. Therefore, from the standpoint of the sustenance of the ocean, okay, we say the sustainer of ocean is water. When the ocean disappears, all the waves resolve, where do they go back? Not outside of water. Therefore, the one in whom, the one in which, that in which all the waves, the entire ocean resolve, all this what? Water. Understand now? Therefore, water is not the creator of the ocean. Water is not the sustainer of the ocean. Water is not the dissolver of the ocean. But the creator of the ocean is none other than water. Sustainer of the ocean is none other than the water. Understand? The one in whom everything resolves also none other than the water with reference to ocean. Similarly, the reality, the Lord... Reality is not the Lord of the universe, but we say from the standpoint of the universe, what is that without which the universe cannot exist is called Lord of the universe. Lord of the universe is the reality. The whole universe is the Lord manifestation of the reality, Lord we say. Therefore, who is the creator of the universe now? There is no creator of the universe. Understand now? Lord is not the creator, but there is no other creator other than the Lord. Creator of the universe is the Lord, sustainer of the universe is the Lord, reality, and then the one in whom everything resolves, all is what? The Lord. We want to give three different names. Sthula Prapanchaha, the gross manifestation, the gross universe is also what? The Lord. Virat, Vishnu. Name, functional names. What about the subtle universe? All subtle aspects. Imperceptible manifestation. Like our own mind, our own seeing power, our own physiological functions. We cannot see through physical eyes. Available only for thought perception. Our subtle factors are available for our thought, subtle perception, thought perception. But other people's subtle powers are not available for your perception, isn't it? Your own subtle factors are available for your thought perception. Isn't it? Like the whole universe is pervaded by subtle universe, isn't it? Subtle universe also is what? Manifestation. So what? The creator of that also, the sustainer, the creator of that also is what? Brahman. So the creator of the subtle and gross, the entire universe is who? The Lord only. Understand now? So Brahma, creator, when you say Brahma, gross universe is called what now? Vishnu. Subtle universe is called what? Brahma. Unmanifest universe is what? Ishwaraha. Oh, nothing is manifest. Everything is unmanifest. Ishwaraha, Shivaha. Grass is called what? Manifestation is what? Brahma. Sir, Vishnu. Subtle is Brahma. Unmanifest is Shiva. The one in whom everything resolves. So what? The universe is the reality. Reality is in the form of universe. Understand now? Universe is none other than reality. First you said no creation. First you started with the creation. Everything has come into being. First you said there is creation. Then you say there's only manifestation, there's no creation. Afterwards you say, manifestation is another expression to say, what is there is only Brahman. Is it clear? What is only Brahman? What about other things? Our thirst, our hunger, now we want to feel like drinking tea. What about that? We do not say they are all unreal. They are all there. They are all Brahman only. Listen, everything is what? Mithya is Satyam. Everything is Brahman. What is empirically real is Brahman. Whatever is subjectively real is Brahman. Whatever is objectively real is Brahman. Whatever is empirically real is Brahman. Brahman alone is the absolutely real thing. Understand now? Okay?
Excuse me. It is the Purusha and Prakriti the same thing?
Purusha and Prakriti we don't talk about here. Yeah, I told already Prakriti about Prakriti in the previous verse. Yeah. Prakriti, as I taught them as Maya,
yeah.
Mithya. Yeah. Because in this context, the idea here is to know that. No, because development, slowly will develop that like that. Is it clear now? I made it very clear?
Okay.
Okay. Please go and have a cup of tea, come back.